Are you tired of hearing politically correct propaganda from the government, the media, the schools, and the churches, when in your heart you know it's not true?
By way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.
We're coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, today they're going to be the views of Dr. Dennis Cuddy, our good friend from Raleigh, North Carolina, who writes regular columns for News with Views. And you'll certainly, if you don't read them, you need to go, and you can, in fact, pull down all of his articles there. There must be well over 100 of them. They're well worthwhile pulling down, putting it into a loose-leaf folder, checking the documentation, because Dr. Cuddy's documentation is, well, it's unparalleled in accuracy. And, of course, today we're going to be talking about the second half of the article we talked about last week on the, well, on the New World Order. But, Dr. Cuddy, I'm going to let you pick up the story and tell our listeners about the issues.
Okay. Well, as you said, it's a continuation with this particular audience of the column I did called The North American Union and the Larger Plan. And I'll just give a little recap here so that your listeners will be brought up to speed on the subject. I had begun last time with the explanation of why I thought something like this was needed. And basically, what I said was that there's a strategy by the power elite, as I call them, whenever somebody's starting to get close to what they're up to, they try to ignore first. If that doesn't work, then they try and ridicule. Then they'll try and demonize the person if that doesn't work. And the scenario goes more or less like that. And they have their minions out there doing their work for them, one of which is Newsweek. And when Ron Paul was asked in a prior presidential debate about the Security and Prosperity Partnership and the North American Union, along with this superhighway going across the country, of course, since he had gotten a lot of money raised, I think he raised more than any other Republican in one particular week on the internet, that he was brought to the attention of the power elite. They could no longer just ignore him. And so the next stage was sort of a ridicule, and what they'll do is they'll send somebody out like Newsweek to basically do a hatchet job on him, which is what this Gretel Kovac did December 1st. If your listeners check Newsweek, they'll see an article titled Highway to Hell? Subtitle, Ron Paul's Worked Up About U.S. Sovereignty. And this reporter goes out and talks about there's a conspiracy in the land, she says, what Ron Paul calls a conspiracy of ideas. And I won't go through the whole thing again, but basically she more or less talks about this superhighway and this North American Union. And then her second paragraph begins, quote, only it's not true. And then she goes on to say the main purveyor of this broad conspiracy theory is Jerome Corsi, who, of course, is a very good author and researcher, and Dr. Stans had him as a guest on before. And he's not somebody who shoddy research. But most of the article is spent poo-pooing this idea, although what's interesting, I thought, was she does say something like all good conspiracies, the NAFTA superhighway is a strange stew of fact and fiction. And then she proceeds to go on and give a lot of facts, which are correct, about this highway in the Trans-Texas Corridor being built, and how it was originally a great, a large plan. It's been scaled back, but only a little. And the contractor, Centra Zachary, a Spanish-Texan consortium, and she gets these things right. But she doesn't ask the obvious questions, which I think...
Let's hope we'll be right back, Dennis.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget, and more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today. Do you need an easier way to stay in touch? A two-way radio may be for you. Two-way radios provide short-range communication with no recurring service charges. Perfect for outdoor activities like camping, hunting, and skiing. Great for amusement parks, cruises, or just keeping up with the kids around the neighborhood. Two-way radios can also make your business more efficient. Cut costs while increasing productivity in doctor and dental offices, restaurants, retail, warehouses, construction, and more. TWRadios.com is the Internet's leading two-way radio provider. With same-day shipping on top name brands including Motorola, Kenwood, Midland, Garmin, and Cobra, rest assured you'll be getting the most durable and reliable radios available. Visit us today at twradios.com. That's TWRADIOS.com. Or call us toll free at 800-584-1445. And let us help you choose the best radio for your needs. That's 800-584-1445. Or online at twradios.com. Keeping in contact has never been easier or more affordable.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and he was simply talking about how Newsweek went out of their way to defame Congressman Paul, suggesting that, my goodness, he thought there was a conspiracy or a conspiracy of ideas to do away with our sovereignty, to build this North American highway. What terrible ideas. And then the reporter went on to actually give a good deal of documentation on the fact that this is a reality. There really is an effort to build a trans-Texas, trans-American highway. There really is this effort to... to alter our sovereignty, to begin to unite the various countries. But they have to defame Congressman Ron Paul because he's having an impact. In fact, it was so interesting. I went out this morning and driving down the highway, here's a great big sign nailed to a tree. It says, Congressman Ron Paul for president. I don't see any John McCain or Rudolph Giuliani or Mitt Romney signs, but in fact, the only signs I've seen so far have been the Ron Paul signs, because he has a grassroots well of support. All the rest of them, except perhaps for Mitt Romney, are establishment people, those people in key positions in both the Republican and Democratic Party presidential primaries. Go ahead, pick up the story there, Dennis.
Well, given what you said, several things are important. First off, when you were mentioning the candidates, one of the things I said last week to this audience was I don't believe it's a coincidence that Rudy Giuliani's law firm, Bracewell & Giuliani, which has several offices in Texas as well as over in Dubai, you remember the Dubai ports, representing these people, the Centra Zachary concerns down there. So that's not accidental. Giuliani has been vetted and approved by the power elite as somebody acceptable to them to become president. In this particular article, there are two people who Gretel Kovach is taking out after. One's Ron Paul, and one's the other's Jerome Corsi. Now, they could ignore Jerome because he's simply an author. But when Ron Paul gets on national television as part of these presidential debates, they can't ignore him. And that's why they went to step two, which is the ridicule phase. That's the second line of defense the power elite has. It's sort of like in that movie Brotherhood of the Bell, where the fellow with named William Conrad toward the end of the show was a talk show host, and he's acting like Rush Limbaugh a lot and ringing this bell because Glenn Ford, who's this professor, is part of this secret society and is going to, you know, spill the beans on him. And of course William Conrad's role is to ridicule him, and so that's, you know, that's one of the stages they go through. Now in this particular case, this Gretel Kovach said, as I mentioned, like all good conspiracies, the NAFTA superhighway is a strange stew of fact and fiction fired by paranoia. So, you know, you throw all those key words in there, you throw in fiction, you throw this is, you know, one of these paranoid black helicopter type things, and so you drop all these buzzwords. And while she went on to explain the facts as, yes, there is this Trans-Texas Corridor, what she was saying was fiction, and paranoia was that this was going to be a Trans-America highway, a North American highway, superhighway. That's where she was drawing the distinction. And what if the American public had not been dumbed down so much, they would realize certain obvious questions that should arise to any good reporter, unless, of course, this Gretel Kovach is an incompetent, or, as I say, she's more or less just a flunky minion of the power elite doing their ridicule business on anybody who wants to expose them. And obviously, if she's going to say, well, it's a fact that there is this Trans-Texas Corridor, which was extremely large and only scaled back a little, and she knows that, and she knows the construction company, Centra Zachary, this consortium, and what they're going to do, and collecting tolls and so forth, then it would seem that the obvious question would be, well, if there is this massive highway system being constructed new, that's important, it's new in Texas, it's not an expanded I-35, which is the current interstate running north and south in Texas, it's not an expanded U.S. 77, which is the main U.S. Numbered highway running north and south in Texas, it's a new I-130, that's what it's called, that what would happen, the question would be, well, what's going to happen to this massive thing when it, since it's new, when it hits the Oklahoma border? And if she'd bothered to do any research, she'd find out that the people in Oklahoma, the authorities there, have already said, look, you guys in Texas may as well do what they call down there a Texas turnaround. You know, sort of a loop, just circling that traffic right back, you know, going south in Texas, which is, of course, ridiculous. I mean, nobody's going to spend a massive amount of money on a turnaround like that. And so the idea of the power elite trying to, you know, test the waters, see what they can get away with, is they actually had as part of this SPP, Security and Prosperity Partnership, a number of people involved, including some Oklahoma individuals who are supposed to have some clout. But the expose has been occurring, thanks to Jerome Corsi and others. And so the cat's out of the bag, so to speak. And so there's a resistance forming. Now, as I said, this sort of thing isn't like, well, somebody comes up with this conspiracy theory, you know, that this secret group is doing such and such, and that's my opinion, and so on and so on. This actually gets down to sort of very, very basic logic. This is the type of thing, you know, that a five-year-old would ask. You know, you can see a five-year-old. There he is. The Trans-Texas Corridor is now built. Tons and tons of money. Massive lanes running north and south. Okay, the little five-year-old gets in the car. We cut the ribbon. Hooray! You know, here we go. And the little five-year-old is there, you know, cruising up this highway at 65, 70 miles an hour past Austin, heading northward, is going to ask, you know, Daddy or whoever, Daddy, you know, what happens when we reach Oklahoma? I mean, this is a sort of 2 plus 2 equals 4 question that even a kid would ask. But apparently, Gretel Kovac doesn't have the common sense to even ask this. And to ask, why would they spend this huge amounts of money if this highway is going nowhere or, you know, coming to a screeching halt or merging and so on? Surely there'd be some coordination. And that's where I had continued my article last week, and I won't go through the whole thing again, but just hitting the high spots. What I try to do is, since these people who are poo-pooing things like to talk to officials, you know, like they really believe government officials. I mean, if you ask Gretel Kovac, you know, what's Newsweek's position if President Bush or Dick Cheney or somebody says something, would you just say, well, that must be true? Well, no. You know, we're very skeptical of them. But when it comes to this, apparently, all she has to do is call up some, you know, one official with the Department of Transportation, and she, you know, believes that's the gospel truth or something. But anyway. So what I try to do is I quote these leading people in a number of areas to show, first of all, how they're trying to condition the American public to accept this attitude of we're North Americans. You know, not just a United States citizen, but we're all North Americans. And so the first quote I gave last time was a Thomas Donahue, president and CEO of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And then I further that by saying there are certain documents, certain publications. One's actually called the North American Integration Monitor by the Center for Strategic and International Studies, and I quote them. And I mentioned how they have this North American Future 2025 project and how they've got these 7 closed-door round tables, you know, a lot of scholars and so forth looking at this. They're not wasting their time. They're not twiddling their thumbs. These people are, you know, fairly busy, and so they're not going to be engaged in something that's useless, right? So here's another part of the conditioning process. I mentioned some key people with the CSIS. For example, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and how he has made flat-out statements about world government, and we're going to get there by regionalization, regional integration. I mentioned that. I mentioned how this whole idea of mergers of regions into larger entities was a favorite term of Stalin and Lenin. I gave those quotes back 1913, 1916. We have to not just get nations closer together, but merge them. And Stalin talking about we need to advocate national loyalties becoming subservient to regions like that. And then I had mentioned how another part of this process is the buying up of American companies by foreign entities, and I went through how Alcatel, which is French-owned, bought up Lucent Technologies, and therefore, you know, what's the consequences? They lay off a lot of people, thousands of jobs in this country, go overseas. I then quoted a few more people along those lines. I also said you have to have some sort of official-type person endorsing the project. So I mentioned next a person named Regner, R-O-E-G-N-E-R, Harry Regner, who had crossed administrations. He had been in the Reagan administration, Bush administration, and then in the Clinton administration, saying how this is a really good idea, this economic union. I mean, he used that word, North American Economic Union, gave those reasons. I also talked about how this is counter to free trade, which is often what they say, because once you get into this regional agreement among, let's say, Canada, U.S., and Mexico, that if you have these arrangements, these trading, you know, contracts for specific amounts to go here and there, then that limits you if you really want free trade with trading with other countries in the same products or goods and services. And so the next thing I did was say President Bush is also involved in this sort of ha-ha conspiracy process. When Brett Baer, a Fox reporter, asked him about this, the Security and Prosperity Partnership, being a prelude to the North American Union, and President Bush typically said, you know, you lay out this conspiracy and force people to prove it doesn't exist, joke, and so on. And so in response to that, what I tried to do was give it an official source, and that was Lieutenant Governor John Harvard of Manitoba, which is a Canadian province. And I refer people specifically to his November 20th, 2007 speech from the throne, as they call it up there, where he lays out how, yes, we've been working, the Canadian government, with state governments in the U.S. Yes, there is this effort to have border and security measures. Yes, we're developing this new license that will be like an identification card. Yes, there is this mid-continent trade corridor with our port of Churchill, and then Winnipeg will be an inland port up there. Yes, we have been coordinating with the leaders, business leaders, state, city governments, spanning the length of the corridor, he says.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there, Dennis, because we're going to have to take a break. But obviously the governor up there is letting it all out.
Ted Anderson, happy holidays. December 24th, 2007. Gold, 811 60-ounce gold coins can be purchased for $835.99, 412 for half, 206 for quarter. That's $835.99, 412 for half, and 206 for quarter. For years, Ron Paul has taken the position to uphold constitutional rights. He's been branded by special interest groups as Dr. No, refusing to bend his values. I can only imagine the pressure applied by Congress as he stands alone for these principles. He has given up a medical career for this. Ron Paul is running for president. The ideas of strong currency, ending the war, defending the Constitution, and protecting civil liberties are catching on. As a thank you, GCNLive.com, Midas Resources, and I would like to send you a free copy of the Ron Paul Family Cookbook. Call 800-686-2237 for your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237. I hope his values are touching your heart as deep as they are mine. That's 800-686-2237. Thanks again for supporting Ron Paul.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteef spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteef exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
This is Elizabeth Border, author of the 2-book set, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. I wrote these books because I believe that every American should have the vital chemtrails research info. I was much heartened and encouraged when a radio listener recently wrote me, quote, "You are truly a great writer, so clear and powerful and thorough in your communication. You have the strength to forge ahead in the midst of darkness, and you also believe in the power of goodness and truth." I hope you listeners will order these crucial books. Send your check for $32 post-pay to Radio Liberty, P.O. Box 969, Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. $32 to Radio Liberty, Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. Or call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
Well, Dr. Stan, here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and we're talking about this move, towards world government. It basically, first of all, forming the North American Union, and the fact that they're one of the Canadian governors up there, and a prime minister in Manitoba, had, for all intents and purposes, admitted that there is a master plan out there. So pick the story up there.
Yeah, it's Lieutenant Governor John Harvard of the provinces. Provinces are like our states. Manitoba, in this case, in a speech from the throne, and he basically was saying, we've been coordinating all this stuff with the cities and business leaders in the U.S., and there's this mid-continent trade corridor, and so actually, that's one corridor. There's really four corridors. He's just talked about one of them. There's a Pacific and an Atlantic and so on, too. You can actually see these corridors on a map. They have their own website. So, I don't know where Gretel Kovac's been, but apparently she can't even find that stuff. So anyway, he's basically talking about what the Security and Prosperity Partnership really would be. And at this point in the article, I sort of say what the ultimate plan of this is. It's a techno-feudal fascist world government. Now, there's fascism and then there's fascism light. This isn't exactly Mussolini fascism, but it is sort of what you would call a government corporate rule. And the way I explain it, and the difference between that and Mussolini, what we've got really going on here is, what you'll have is governments are always complaining about not having money, and so you'll have these private foundations which are attached to these transnational corporations like, Rockefeller Foundation, Carnegie, Ford Foundation, like that. What they'll do is they'll come to a city leader and say, we've got this plan, and we'll throw in some money, and we'll have this partnership, and the city government leaders are, so glad to get the money, and they say, okay, sure, fine. And so what happens is they bring this plan to fruition, whether it's, a Security and Prosperity Partnership, whatever it is. And so what happens is the power elite controls the politicians who become government leaders, who promulgate these laws and rules and regulations that are favorable to these certain transnational corporations that the power elite controls. And so that's the type of fascism that I think we've got in store for us, and the plan's already being made.
Well, some people call that a soft fascism.
Yeah,
in other words, I like that term, soft fascism, because it certainly is the antithesis of the American system, but it certainly is this sort of this partnership between the corporations and government.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way they have it, and that goes internationally. I mean, what you'll find is there's something like the African Union and the an Asian Union, a European Union, all that stuff. They first have these like agreements. Let's have this agreement, and then they form some sort of formal partnership around it, and then the next stage they move to is after like our Security and Prosperity Partnership is what they would call a community, like the North American community, sort of like the European Economic Community. And then the final stage, of course, is the Union, European Union, North American Union.
But Dennis, nobody ever wants to call these people subversives, and yet that is exactly what they are. They're trying to change our form of government. Many of them have sworn to uphold the Constitution, given an oath, a promise to God, and then they do everything they can to destroy it. And until we start calling these people what they are, subversive elements within our society, intent upon destroying our sovereignty, and call them fascists, until we begin to point out what they're really doing, until people can really see it, nothing's going to change. But once people begin to understand we have these subversives working at the highest level of our government, they should be arrested, tried for treason, and sent to prison. At that point, maybe we can get the people to wake up.
Well, one would hope, but they're very clever. They have this process where they condition the people at first, and then they throw out these little trial balloons, to see where the public's at. And so they've really gotten the American public to rely upon the major media, although the alternative, an internet gets some news around. They still use their flunkies at Newsweek or Time or whatever, to get to a point where even if they say what they're going to do, like David Rockefeller, in his memoirs 5 years ago, he actually admits, okay, I'm part of a secret cabal conspiring against the best interest of the U.S., in order to have this more integrated global political and economic structure, one world. You know, that I mean, a political and economic structure is a government. So it's like a world government. So even when Rockefeller actually comes out and says, yes, you know, this is what I'm up to, the public doesn't know it because they are relying on Time, Newsweek, New York Times, Washington Post, whatever, for their main source of news. I'm not talking about you or I or the listeners of, you know, Genesis. I'm talking about the majority of the public. And so they've actually been conditioned to the point where Rockefeller can come out and make some statement like that and get away with it. I mean, this Gretel Kovach hasn't, you know, mentioned David Rockefeller in any of her Newsweek columns. Or
hold that thought, Dennis. We'll be back in just a moment here at Genesis.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, rocket trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Daily, we're warned about E. coli, SARS, bird flu, MRSA, and influenza. Dr. Gregory Pullen, director of vaccine research at the Mayo Clinic, said it's absolutely positively going to happen. But did you know there is no plan to combat a major outbreak in this country? Introducing the Hazard Decontamination Kit. The Hazard Kit contains a fog applicator, Tyvek protective suit, gloves, a mask, and enough concentrate to make 32 gallons of fogging liquid, and it's so easy to use. Doesn't your family and business deserve the insurance of having your own hazard kit? Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and order your hazard kit today. Health and Human Services Secretary Michael Levitt says any community that doesn't prepare because they think the federal government will be able to rescue them will be tragically disappointed. Only $269 plus shipping and handling. Isn't your family worth it? Call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com and get your own weapon of mass protection.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest, Dr. Dennis Cuddy. Now, if you want to get his information, you go to newswithviews.com. That is www.newswithviews.com, and you can get his articles. You go over on the left side, scroll down to Dr. Dennis Cuddy. It's right close to the top. Pull down his articles. You'll be fascinated by them. And we do carry a number of books, one of them called Conspiracy, Secret Records Revealed, written by Dr. Cuddy. Very short book, probably 60 or 80 pages, but tremendous information there you need. And of course, you get one of our catalogs or call our 800 number. You can get the other books that we carry. We carry his book on mental health. And I wish we had his other books, and hopefully one day we will have them. All of them, of course, help you to better understand that there really are secret organizations or semi-secret organizations. Their goal is a one-world government, a one-world religion, the destruction of Christianity, and, of course, the coming world leader. Once you understand that, everything makes sense. If you don't understand it, you don't understand where we fought. No one more is in Korea and in Vietnam and now in Iraq. We're not fighting to win over there. These are all phony wars, because behind them are these powerful spiritual forces that think nothing of human life or the loss of human life or suffering. But their goal is, of course, to bring about this one world government. Dr. Cuddy, pick the story up.
Yes, I would also, just as you indicated, I would encourage people especially to get that little booklet, Conspiracy, that I did, that you carry, because it's useful in two senses. First, the first two-thirds of that is a back and forth between a skeptic and a researcher, and it would give your listeners the ability to answer any people who want to be like Gretel Kovac and poo-poo any notion of a conspiracy and call you paranoid. It actually, you know, gives question, answer, you know, you're very useful information. But the last third of the booklet is, I think, rather unique, because what I do is project the future. And step by step, how the power elite or Big Brother, whatever you call it, comes into control. It's pretty much like Edward Bellamy's book, written in the late 1800s, looked at the year 2000 backwards. What I do in this last third of the little conspiracy booklet is look at the year 2100 backwards and show exactly how, step by step, our future will unfold. And now, picking back up with this article, the next thing I had in it, and I won't do the whole thing because we did that last week, is Lou Dobbs with CNN, who is one of the reporters who I think has got a handle on this. And he says, most conservatives just refuse to accept the reality that George W. Bush is a one-world neoliberal. And he talks about how he's promoting the Security and Prosperity Partnership, which will undermine our sovereignty, and so on. And then what I did is move, since I mentioned John Harvard up in Canada, I give some quotes by Vicente Fox, the former president of Mexico, how in the Club 21 in Madrid back in 2002, he basically said what we've all been saying, that the long-range objective is to establish with the U.S. and with Canada an ensemble of connections and institutions similar to those created by the European Union. Now, he uses that word, you know, European Union. So that's the model, you know, a North American Union. And so what I did next was to talk about all the Mexican trucks which are coming in here and the possible problems with them and, you know, safety and how long have the drivers driven. Do they understand English? Have they had any background checks on criminal records and so forth? And then what I did in the next part of this was say, what would we get if we were like the European Union? I gave specific information from a Mrs. Kitty Worthman. Why this woman? Well, she was a survivor of both Hitler's reign, and then after Hitler was defeated, the Soviet rule there in Eastern Europe as well. So she saw both of them, and she described how the European Union was presented to people as to how it would greatly benefit them, and lower prices for goods, you know, free trade would really help the economy. And in reality, what they found is that their money was greatly devalued. And in addition, they've had to now live, a lot of them, especially seniors, on welfare and food stamps, and unemployment's high because they had a lot of these guest workers come in from Muslim countries and so forth. So that's, you know, that's the type of future which we have to look forward to. Okay, that's where we ended last time. So picking up this new information in terms of what's happening, Vicente Fox more recently, just a couple of months ago, October 8th, on Larry King Live, said that what they wanted, he and President Bush, was a trade union for all the Americas. Remember that, union. He's using that word, union. And he suggested there would eventually be a regional currency as well. He made the same comments later that day on a show called The Daily Show. And he's not the only one. Earlier the same year, Bolivian President Evo Morales proposed a single currency for all South American nations. Now, as part of this article in Newsweek, Gretel Kovac was poo-pooing this idea of the Amero, you know, the single currency. You know, isn't this a joke? She maybe talked to some one or two officials in Washington, and they said, oh, you know, the Amero, no, this is ridiculous, and so on. And so what I've done in this article for your listeners, if they'll go to this article, is I've given documentation from leading individuals in this country, government officials, and well-respected people in the Federal Reserve, saying that, in fact, that is what they're up to. I begin way back, at least in contemporary sense, June 1991. And I say that the Dallas Federal Reserve publication, 9115, titled Free Trade and the Peso, is by a Daryl McLeod and a John Welch. And they analyze the potential for a single North American currency. Next, I give a Canadian, a former member of their parliament, Herbert Grubel, their parliament, had an article published, quote, The Case for the Amero. Subtitled The Economics and Politics of a North American Union. And he gave the year 2010 as a possible date for introducing this Amero as the new American currency, so as a Canadian. I also gave another article from the Atlanta Federal Reserve. The previous was Dallas. Atlanta Federal Reserves, they have a journal called Economic Review. You can see this, the fourth quarter of 2000. There's a fellow there named Michael Christ. He's director of Debt Reserve's Latin American Research Group, and he wrote, quote, Perspectives on a Potential North American Monetary Union. That's just the title. And in there he says the idea of a single currency for NAFTA is on the table, end quote. That's, you know, year 2000. 2000 is the same year Vicente Fox proposed a North American common market with a continental monetary policy. In case you think, you know, that was then and they've forgotten it. No, David Dodge. Now, this guy, David Dodge, is governor of the Bank of Canada. Just May of this year, he said that a common currency with the U.S. is definitely possible. And so what I say next is what would happen is the parallel will cause the dollar to be devalued to a point where Americans reluctantly accept the Amero. That's what will happen. You know, they always have to have a crisis. Oh, my goodness, look, the dollar is plummeting. We got to have this Amero. And so I next give this December 06 newsletter called International Forecasters by Bob Chapman. And he said in his newsletter, quote, the Amero will be presented to the American public as the administration's solution for dollar recovery. Another organization you can find on the web called Bank Introductions, just June of this year, June 14th, they told all their clients that in the next 10 to 20 years, as a global economy moves towards regional trading blocks, the Amero, or as they called it, the North American Monetary Unit, NAMU, you know, sounds like an orca whale, will be introduced. That's what they're telling their people. And so then I indicate that the Paralite's plan is to form these regional unions with their own currencies and then link them into this world government with one global currency. And relevant to that, which is my idea, I mean, I think that's what's going to happen, Reuters reporter Emmanuel Jarry on October 23rd of this year wrote that Sarkozy, he's the French president, or as he pronounces it, Sarkozy, calls for Mediterranean Union launch in 2008. That's the title. And the African Union, as I mentioned before, their central bank, the African Central Bank, they are already planning to mint what's called the Gold Mandela, Nelson Mandela, as the single African currency by 2010. Remember, 2010, that's the same date as projected for the North American Union. So fairly apparent, apparently Ms. Kovac didn't bother look at any of this, that there have been plans in the works for a long, long time to bring this about. And of course, you know, the single global currency, there's even a website for them. I mean, this isn't, I'm just saying, gee, you know, there's a single global, there's actually a single global currency association. It actually exists, the SGCA. And what they have, if you look at the top of their website, is a quote. By former Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker saying, quote, a global economy requires a global currency, end quote. And they go on to explain what they're about. It says they are dedicated to the goal of implementing a single global currency by 2025, managed by a single international central bank, end quote. And so that would fit because I've already indicated to your audiences that if they look on the cover of The Economist for June 9, 1988, they will see a picture of something called the Phoenix, and that is supposed to be the global currency which they, at the time, 1988, projected for the year 2018 implementation date. So, you know, somewhere in there, 2018, 2025. And whatever their date for this global currency's introduction, it'll be probably advertised as, at first, it'll be, you know, facilitating world trade. You know, we need to take care of that, which, of course, the power elite will control. And I say toward the end of my article that that would be like in the days of Solomon, where he fortified Giza, Hazor, and Megiddo. Now, the Har, H-A-R, or Mount, is the translation of Megiddo, would be called Armageddon. And through that fortification, Solomon controlled what was called the Via Maris, V-I-A, which is a word meaning way, the you know, a road, Via Maris, and world trade. You fortify it, you control world trade, and thereby you control the world, he controlled the world of his day. And so that's the power elite's plan for today. But, of course, just like the Har, Mount Megiddo, and so on, what that will happen, will bring about, is the big biblical Armageddon, the Battle of Armageddon. And so, you know, that's we're living more or less in the end times here, and it's getting closer and closer. Now, somebody you might watch for to get an idea of where we're headed is Constance Cumbie's old nemesis, Javier Solana. He actually, if your listeners check, he actually has his own website. And I've got the URL here. I'm not going to read it out because it's a long thing. But I'll give you just one example. On his website, he has a place where you can click on press releases, speeches, another one, articles, and so on. And his last State of the Union sort of address for the EU was titled "Where We Stand: From Building Peace in Europe to Being a Peace Builder in the World, Taking Stock of the Union's Foreign and Security Policy." End quote. That's, you know, sort of a long thing, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. But briefly, you have to watch the buzzwords and know what you're looking for. And so part of this speech, he says, as new powers emerge and new issues call for our engagement, Europe will have to apply itself to the task of promoting the emergence of a new international order. An international order which is based on clear rules, strong institutions, and so on. A little later he says, therefore, one key task for Europe for the next 50 years is to protect and develop a system of strong institutions able to tackle the problems of a new age. You know, he puts that in there. He's from the Madariaga family, and they had a new age guru back some years ago. So, you know, he puts that little buzzword in there. And he says it's to build a rules-based international order and so forth and so on. And he says, above all, we need to relearn that the biggest shift in history came when we extended the rule of law, and so on. And he wants to apply this internationally, right? So we're going to have international law. And he goes on and says, we have to act together on a range of different issues, so forth and so on. And then toward the end, he talks about crisis management operations. The global reach and scope of these operations is striking. And he, you know, says they expand is way beyond what he's doing, so that the EU will be a key enabler for peace and stability worldwide. And then toward the end, he actually gives a quote that he borrows from Jean-Jacques Rousseau in his Social Contract. And we've been over Rousseau in the past. And the quote goes, the strongest is never strong enough to be always the master unless he transforms strength into right and obedience to duty, end quote, and so on. So if you know how to read this stuff, what he's doing is laying out this plan for this new international order in which they, mainly himself, will take the lead in establishing international law, which everyone will have to obey. And so I would encourage you, you know, not just to look at this one, but take a look at his speeches and his articles that he comes out with, because the plan is that there will be this North American Union, and it will largely follow in the steps of the European Union. And this fellow, Solana, as I mentioned before, is the front man for these power elite. He was basically put into power as part of the Cecil Rhodes plan. He was put into power by Bill Clinton, Rhodes Scholar, Clinton's Rhodes Scholar roommate, Strobe Talbot, and the ambassador to Spain, also a Rhodes Scholar, Richard Gardner, who, you know, talked in 1974 about eroding national sovereignty piece by piece. And so that's why the Clinton administration put Gardner there, you know, not Russia, not England, not France, but he didn't go to Spain. So they get this, you know, virtual nobody who was teaching physics in the state of Virginia at one point to be now one of the most powerful people in the world. And so I'd really encourage your listeners to check him out and keep referring, you know, periodically to Solana's speeches and articles and addresses, because that's the model. That's where they want to take us as the North American Union, and that's where Solana is going to take us for this new international order. You know, Gorbachev still uses the term new world order, but you'll also interchangeably this term new international order, which is the term that Solana actually uses. So that would be the advice I have for your listeners.
All right, fine. Well, I'm sure that if our listeners should realize that there is a master plan that's been around for at least 3,000 years, of course, to create this one world government, a new world religion, and, of course, this new world leader. And, of course, the person behind all of this is Lucifer. Lucifer has always wanted to rule the world. It's taken him a long time to get to the point where we are today. Lucifer is not abstract. He is a real living entity. And, of course, he has all sorts of demons and helpers out there that are working at the highest levels of the American government and the other governments of the world to bring about this coming world nightmare. And it's about time people understood this. It should be so obvious. If you read their publications, if you haven't been to LucisTrust.org recently, LucisTrust.org, go there. And they have offices in New York, London, and Geneva, one of the most powerful organizations in the world, financed by some of the richest people in the world, people who have given themselves over to the dark side. Dr. Keddie, thank you so very much for being with us. Any last thoughts before we let you go?
Yeah, especially listeners, look at what you just said about Lucifer, because Alice Bailey's, you know, Lucifer Publishing, when she died, Foster Bailey, husband, picked that up and wrote a book called Running God's Plan. So they consider, you know, Lucifer as that, and said Hitler sort of blew it, but they were continuing. And Mary Bailey, said Sagittarius rules Washington. So they have all these code words and astrological signs.
Hey, we're out of time. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and if you have not yet read my treatise or on the history of money or heard my talk on the financial tsunami and got the syllabus that goes with it that goes a great deal in detail into the Federal Reserve System, you need to get that information. You need to have it available. You need to get the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and Fiat Money Inflation in France. Now, the whole world is teetering on the edge of a financial Armageddon. We have a 4-tape set by that title, The Financial Armageddon. You must understand that this may be the best thing that has ever happened, because although millions of Americans are going to lose everything they have, at least many of them will be willing to listen to what you're trying to tell them about the secret forces working behind the scenes that have created the financial crisis that the world is facing today. So you need to have our material, The History of Money, Financial Tsunami, Creature from Jekyll Island, Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and, of course, Fiat Money Inflation in France. And then understand we're going to have a great opportunity to reach people with the truth about what's going on. And I'm just hoping that the coming collapse of the world economy is going to give us additional time. In other words, it's going to slow down the people on the other side as far as their move towards the one world government, the one world religion, the new world order. So exciting things are happening. Because if you haven't read my book, you need to get it to understand what this is really all about. Remember the words of Manly P. Hall? We quote on page 132 of my book, and we're quoting his book, The Lost Keys of Freemasonry. And he wrote, when the Mason learns that the key to the warrior on the block is the proper application of the dynamo of living power, he has learned the mystery of his craft, the seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands. When the Mason learns the key to the warrior on the block is the proper application of the dynamo of living power, he has learned the mystery of his craft. The seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands. That comes from the Lost Keys of Freemasonry. We carry these books for researchers. We don't put them out in the general list of our publications, but you can ask for the special books. We also carry Manly P. Hall's The Secret Teachings of All Ages, compilation of 20 years of travel, unlimited funds as he tracked the secret societies and ancient mystery religions down through the ages. And the last book we carry is, of course, The Secret Destiny of America, that tells that for 3,000 years, secret societies have been working to bring about world democracy. And isn't that why we're over in Iraq today? Isn't it about world democracy? And the truth of the matter is, of course not. We're there to fight a no-win war like we fought in Vietnam and we fought in Korea. We want a justification to keep our troops there. If we won the war, how could we justify keeping troops permanently in Iraq as part of our move to bring about this new world order? This is why we have bases in 130 different nations, over 750 bases throughout the world. This is why the United States spends more money on its military than all the rest of the nations in the world today. Why? Because they want America to have an empire. You need to get the book, The Secret History of America's Empire, and the other book by John Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And we have a 4-tape set, The Economic Hitman, and a 4-tape set on the secret history of the American Empire. You need to get this information. You need to understand. You need to go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, and you can watch our news, our DVDs. You can listen to many of our programs there. They're archived, MP3. You can hear them live. You can hear a live feed 9 hours a day. And of course, you won't get much accomplished, but it's a live feed of our satellite. You can listen to us on satellite. We'll be back on shortwave on the 2nd of the 2nd of January, and then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and ministers. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are under attack today, and we'll be back in just a moment for the rest of the program.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Or I'm going to give it to you right.
Put the wrong number down.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, we're hoping today, very, very shortly, to have Mr. James Tucker on the line with us. And Mr. Tucker is a fascinating gentleman. He was, for many, many years, a newspaper reporter, and then he eventually retired from that. He went to work for the America Free Press, and they told him about an organization that really ruled most of the world. It was called the Bilderbergers, and Mr. Tucker had never heard of the Bilderbergers. How could that be? He thought, when I'm a reporter, I've been, certainly looking after all of these things for years, and suddenly they're telling me there's an organization called the Bilderbergers, and hardly anybody in America has ever heard of it. Well, let's have Mr. Tucker tell the story. James Tucker, thank you very much for being with us this afternoon.
It was my pleasure, and I'm sorry about last week when I was trapped on that bridge.
Well, that was an amazing story, and maybe it was just a coincidence. Under any circumstances, we're just tickled to have you with us today. And why don't you tell us how you got interested in the Bilderbergers?
Well, I spent 20 happy years with daily newspapers, the Establishment Press. I had, in the 50s, when I was a young stud, I was a sports writer covering the original Washington Senators baseball team, Redskins. Moved into the news end of it. I found myself editor of a small daily in Tifton, Georgia. Back to Richmond to serve as on their copy desk. The Washington Daily News to be their night editor. Daily News folded up in 72, and I found myself editor of a small daily in Martinsville, Virginia. Then assistant news editor, whatever that meant, of the Akron Beacon Journal. Then back to Washington 75, and I'm being interviewed by Willis Cardo, who had founded Liberty Lobby, and was considering turning his newsletters into a weekly newspaper called The Spotlight. He said, "What do you think about Bilderberg?" I thought he was talking about Limburger cheese. How could a guy spend 20 happy years with mainstream media and such a powerful group exist without knowing about it, Associated Press wires, United Press, smaller wires, clacking all day, and these newspapers, the Daily News was Scripps Hour newspaper, had news bureaus all over the country. That was back when the a couple of generations ago when people read, little children read books, and people read newspapers, there was a lot of newspapers. Not no. I said, that's not possible. So he gave me some material to examine. One of the great pieces of that material was in 1957 when the late, great Westbrook Tegner first exposed Bilderberg. He did not know they called themselves Bilderberg. He had two lengthy columns called The Reader Gave Him a Tip. He went down to Jekyll Island, Georgia, I think it was, and through spy glasses, News World Traveler, nationally syndicated, world known, and he could recognize all these people through spy glasses. Heads of state, international financiers, Rockefellers, Rothschilds, going past all this heavy security, armed guards sealing off this big resort. He simply raised the question in two successive columns. What are these international parabrokers doing?
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Mr. James Tucker, who is with the American Free Press. Originally, he was with the Spotlight magazine. He'd spent 20 years or more in key positions in the media, and he'd never heard of the Bilderbergers because most Americans were never allowed to hear about the Bilderbergers because the Bilderbergers' agents controlled most of the media in America, and the last thing they wanted for the average American to understand is that the electoral process is a fraud, that they could, a small group of very wealthy men, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, Mr. Kissinger, and of course some of the people, well, certainly Catherine Graham, who runs the Graham, who ran the Washington Post, and the people who ran the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, conservative, liberal, it's all a game. It's all there to deceive people that they were concealing the fact that these people of great wealth were meeting on a regular basis, really planning our future. And so Mr. Tucker then was given the job as he went to work for the Spotlight, a newspaper, of tracking down the Bilderbergers. And how long ago did you start tracking down the Bilderberger meetings?
Well, immediately in 1975, when the Spotlight was established, at that time we were using stringers, they're called, guys who write for us from Europe. If they're meeting in Europe, we had one of our guys from Europe cover for economic reasons. If they met in North America, we had reporters in Canada, United States to cover. I was not quite satisfied with that, so I started covering myself in the 1980s. I remember my first trip to Europe was to Innsbruck, Austria. I'm a little bit confused over the dates.
All right, well, don't worry about it. But anyway, you started there back in about 1980 going to the meetings, and you've been going just about ever since then, haven't you? Tracking down the Bilderbergers.
Yes, it's a great adventure. I love it.
But, of course, how were you able to find out what was really going on inside? Certainly, they have made sure there were no microphones, no way that people could know what was going on, because they wanted to keep their deliberations secret, and the people who attended the meetings weren't supposed to tell. But were you actually able to get some people from within who would reveal some of the what actually went on there?
Yes, a few times I've been within, too, but I was crawling through tall, great drain pipes, hopping small walls. More recent years, in the early years, I learned something, Lord, that goes back to the 80s and early 80s in Canada.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Mr. Tucker was telling how he's been going to these meetings fairly regularly since the 1980s, and of course, he'd learned something back in the 1980s when there was a meeting in Canada. What did you learn at that time, Mr. Tucker?
Well, it was the way I learned it that's very helpful. it's about 40 miles from Montreal. I have to fly there and rent a car. And across from the a big island, across the road from a big place, it was a high island, a big, of course, posh resort, they're sealed off. So I went to the a little restaurant across the road, and being very low-key about this, well, first thing I do is try to check into the hotel, just for the record, so that I'm denied. And in comes, as I suspected, the staff, the busboys, waiters, waitresses, and we start talking and nattering. And I invite all of them to have a beer as my guest. And they do, because they're not making much money. At that time, kind of had such a difficult problem with low employment. They split jobs. So everybody had a part-time job, so that fewer people had no job at all. And the leader came in. You could always tell the leader. And he said, in speaking French to the barmaid, "We cannot help you at all. We cannot help you." He said, "I'm asking them to just bring back any little bit of information. Don't take a chance on your job. Just if a piece of paper is thrown in a trash can, put it in your pocket. Be my eyes and ears and hear." And no, we can help you. The next day he came back speaking English and said, "They're trying to, I can't use that word, bleep my country and bleep yours too. We'll help you all we can." And every day after that, we met at the same time. I still remember, as we went around the table, a beautiful young girl saying, "Well, actually, really don't have anything to contribute. My stuff is silly." I said, "Tell me what's silly." And she explained that Kissinger was happy with his Scotch soda. But Kissinger's David Rockefeller's valet, Rockefeller's not happy with his red wine. It's the wrong kind of wine. So airplanes fly back to New York to get the right kind of wine, fly back to the airport in Montreal, and desperately drive back to whatever they call that resort to bring David Rockefeller the right kind of wine. Could you imagine somebody being that frivolous?
Well, of course, these people are unconcerned about money because they can, they're fabulously wealthy. They control the banking, the oil, they control many of our major corporations, the Rockefeller Foundation, and as a result, they really control most of what goes on in our society. Well, anyway, then you've been able to find people ordinarily at the meetings who are willing to help you, and of course, they close the hotel. Nobody can be a guest there other than the members of the Bilderbergers, but they do have some of the staff there who are told not to talk to outsiders, but you've usually been able to get somebody to give you a hand?
Yes, and understand that the place is sealed off with armed guards. In Europe, quite often the military is dispersed, as well as their own armed guards and their own private security guards in plain clothes, but wearing the same red jackets or whatever they'll do each year.
In other words, they have their private military and their private guards there. They have the police, they have the military.
Yes.
They do not want anybody to know what's really going on there. And you've certainly tried to get in many times and always are turned away, aren't you?
Well, I've been inside for a while before they caught me and would throw me back out. But that was early years before they... Well, security gets tougher every year. In the early years, they're not used to characters like me going through drain pipes or over fences after dark. And I'll be dressed in my Bilderberg suit, a black suit, white shirt, red necktie. I'll be in uniform and infiltrate that way. In recent years, because of the Internet, other sources step forward, higher sources. Now, once we found out where they are, and we haven't found out yet. That keeps me nervous as a trumpet in church until we do. But when we do, we'll put it on our website So the boys in Europe, and they get a lot of coverage in Europe. It's only in North America where we have such a complete blackout. So in the last 3 or 4 years, we've had people come forward who are in the upper ranks of the hotel staff because they see on the Internet. And also, talk about the guys, not the busboys, not the receptionists, but the higher-level employee, some kind of young executive. Now, he's known for a year that this place is all sealed off for these days between Wednesday at noon and the following Monday at about noon, all sealed off. He has to know about security. They have to be informed on this. So now he's wondering, what in the world? We've never had this before in our life. And they see on the Internet. There's a group called Bilderberg, or maybe they've been told that, but more about it. And I'd get calls at my hotel because they know it's on the Internet. Meet me at this location at this time. Pretend you don't hear me. Pretend we don't know each other. And I'll help you all I can.
And, of course, these people are risking their jobs by doing it. But in Europe, of course, why this is the media over there is not as tightly controlled as America. People think we have freedom of the press in the United States. The freedom of the press means if you own the medium, if you own the press, you have the freedom to suppress whatever information you want to. And they've been suppressing information about the Bilderbergers since the organization was first founded in 1954. And actually only within the last, I think, year or two has there been any mention of the Bilderbergers in the major media. Would that be a fair estimate?
In North America, yes. The governor of Texas attended, I think it was Texas, and somehow it leaked into newspapers. The governor of Virginia attended, and it was some staffer. I mentioned where he was, paid his own way, and all that jazz. So there's been a little bit of leakage. But in Europe, there's heavy coverage, the major daily newspapers. And then also in Canada, to be fair to Canada, the heavy in the newspapers, heavy on television. The as soon as I get there, the in this age of the Internet, they know where I am, and we meet, we collaborate, we pool our information. Channel 4 England did a one-hour special on Bilderberg. A&E or something like that did a little bit, and the History Channel did a little bit. And some of you radio syndicates have done some in this country, but in Europe it's heavy on national television. And it's all because readers were smarter than I was. It goes back to about Helsinki, about 1990. And at that time, we found out so early we could have an advanced story over there, meeting for positive. We were waiting for newspapers. I think we found out about November, plenty of time. Readers in Europe, of course, it costs a lot to subscribe there. The postage alone doubles, at least doubles the rate. So they have a tendency to buy the newspaper and share it with 20 others.
Okay.
So we get a letter. This is all exchange of mail. And one reader said, should we alert the local TV people and radio people and newspapers about the Bilderberg meeting? And the answer was yes. Well, I did not think about that years before that. But nevertheless, they were shocked when they got off the airplanes in Helsinki to take their helicopters or to the more affected, like the Kissinger's, the caravan with police escorts to the scene of the crime about 20 or 40 miles out of town. And they're so shocked to see all these television cameras glaring at them, all the newspaper reporters with padded hands yelling at them. They were stunned. It was a lot of fun.
And, of course, Alex Jones was there a couple of years ago at the Bilderberger meetings, and he was there really with his blowhorn trying to get people's attention about the Bilderberger meeting. I guess they weren't very happy about that, were they?
Not at all. In fact, yeah, Alex was with me in Canada about 4 years ago. And actually, they tried to stop him at the airport, him and his camera crew.
In other words, they tried to stop him and keep him from coming into Canada.
Yes, and that created publicity in Canada. More publicity they would have had if they said nothing that had come through. I got a call from Alex. Well, we knew each other's schedule. He knew my hotel. He told me he was being held at the airport with his camera crew. And I was also scheduled to be driven to the Bilderberg Senior Club by a beautiful young girl broadcaster. You know, microphone always under your chin. That's okay. And I mentioned her as we're going out there, what Alex Jones said. And she got on her cell phone thing and called her radio station. And they call up the newspapers, and there's a whole lot of newspapers about Bilderberg and trying to stop this Alex Jones and his TV crew from coming in. They were embarrassed and turned him loose.
Well, I think that
the stupid fools would have had much less publicity if they'd not stopped him at all.
Well, I think the thing is that they fear the public is going to learn that a small group of people are already determining the future of our nation, and indeed the future of Europe, both Europe and the United States.
And the world.
Well, anyway, of course, apparently Alex had quite an impact. He's put together a very, very good DVD, which we do carry, called The Endgame. We think it's well worthwhile, and it's amazing how many people are really interested in getting Alex's DVD, which is available, once again, called The Endgame, and it does actually have an interview there with Mr. James Tucker, who's our guest today. Well, certainly, what sort of things do the Bilderbergers discuss when these people of fabulous wealth get together?
So many things. In fact, when Alex Jones was in Canada with me about 4 or 5 years ago, we did an advanced story, a consumer story, about how the mortgage market is going to go crazy.
Were they aware even then, of course, that the mortgage rate?
Yes, and they were laughing. Well, in fairness, some of them said that was very cruel. They're laughing about how young people be induced to buy a house, and you can buy a bigger house now. Your mortgage payment is very low for a year or 6 months or a year. You don't even have to pay on equity. Some of the laughing was about the fact they're stupid, which is true. I mean, good Lord, who would buy a house 10 times their income when their payments would be 10 times their income because they don't have to pay any equity?
Well, of course, but this was going to lead to a disaster, and they were well aware then, of course, were they concerned that the financial disaster which has hit us now was going to come about, or were they actually encouraging this sort of thing?
They were encouraging. A lot of them were laughing about it. I did hear some of them say, that's kind of cruel and mean-spirited. Well, that's stating the obvious. Normally, when a young couple buys a house, the banker wants you to be able to make your mortgage. They'll say, okay, your income will permit you, you can buy a house in this price range in this income. And, of course, the rates were fixed. There's no nonsense like that. And the bankers wanted you to succeed. They wanted you to pay off your mortgage on time. But now this business of we're so greedy, we're going to trick you in to buying a house 10 times what you should pay, because for the first 6 months or a year, your payments are so low. You're not paying on equity. There's no settlement cost. We'll pay that, or we'll add it to your total bill. You can buy a bigger house than that. Okay. It's very stupid of those people to buy those houses, but why should we be so cruel to people for being stupid? If we were cruel to everybody who is stupid, it would be cruel to half the people on this earth.
Well, of course, the difficulty is that the people buying these alternative rate mortgages people buying these creative mortgages with nothing down, or certainly payment only on the interest, or maybe just on the equity and no money on the interest. All of this was designed to create the current financial crisis that we're seeing today that threatens the stability of the entire world monetary system. And I'm amazed that they knew about this some years ago and that nothing was done, because this suggests that the crisis that is going to affect so many people's lives was planned, or at least these people were well aware of it and did nothing to stop it, which is unconscionable.
It is.
All right, hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Mr. James Tucker, who actually found out about the Bilderbergers simply by because he came in contact with a man who was publishing Spotlight magazine. In 20 years, Mr. Tucker had never heard of the Bilderbergers, and of course that was back in 75. Today he's one of the leading experts on this secret group, and it is a secret group, and of course they've done everything they could to discourage information from getting out. There's a Mr. Daniel Estulin, who's written a book on this. He lives over in Spain. They've been able to put out 1.5 million copies at least of his book over there, and yet here in the United States, they were lucky to get it published at all with a very limited publication. Have you written a book at all, Mr. Tucker? Have you written a book, Mr. Tucker? Mr. Tucker, are you there? Well, I hope we haven't lost Mr. Tucker. We'll see if we can get him back on the line. I'll give you a little music here for just a moment here. Mr. Tucker, are you there? Well, we'll be back in just a moment here and see if we can find out what happened to our guest. Well, we seem to be having lots of problems. Hopefully our producer will be able to get Mr. Tucker on the line. Last week when he was supposed to be with us, Mr. Tucker lives in, I believe, in Virginia, but he ordinarily works in New York City and actually stays in a hotel for 3 or 4 days at a time and then goes home. And last week when he was supposed to be with us, he was taking a taxi ride and was going across one of the rivers there in New York, and suddenly somebody tried to cut the taxi off. The taxi driver put on his brakes, and then they couldn't get the taxi started again, and the taxi driver was frantic. He'd never had that happen to him. The taxi wouldn't start, so we called the taxi company and said, I've got a fare here, he wants to get to his hotel across the Potomac, across the river. And they said, oh, we can't send a taxi to you. You'll have to get one from Virginia because you're on the bridge. And it took 1.5 hours, and Mr. Tucker was not able to get through to to us, as he had to sit in his taxi for 1.5 hours. And Mr. Tucker said, you know, I've been riding taxis in New York for 30 years. That's the first time that has ever happened. And you have to wonder, would it be that there are people who don't want Mr. Tucker to get his story out? Certainly, we're trying to call him back again. We have his proper telephone number, but we seem to be having a little difficulty. So if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question you'd like to ask me, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464 8295. So hopefully we're trying to reach Mr. Tucker again, and because we'd like, of course, to have him tell you this story about the Bilderbergers, this group of powerful people who can mobilize the United States Army or the Canadian Army or the European Army, and all we get is an answering machine as we try to reach Mr. Tucker. Amazing the fact that he was there waiting for our program, and now we can't get through. So our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question about the the Bilderberger Group, I mean, this is a group of the most wealthy and ruthless people in the world. You'll find David Rockefeller associated with this organization. Of course, David Rockefeller organized the Trilateral Commission. Their logo was three sixes intertwined. And, of course, they've changed the logo. Now it's three sixes intertwined in a circle, joined together in the middle by an upside-down broken cross. I think anybody who, of course, has ever studied prophecy knows that the number 666 does have spiritual significance. Mr. Bilderberg, David Rockefeller, the honorary permanent chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, Mr. Tucker, we seem to be having difficulty, but we're glad to have you back on the line. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. We got cut off, and I called your Leticia back.
All right, fine. Well, I'm glad we got you here. And anyway, you were telling us about the Bilderbergers. What sort of things do they talk about at these meetings? What is so secret they don't want us to know about?
Well, over the years, we have something of a track record. One of the most dramatic was our advanced story on the downfall of Lady Thatcher. She attended one Bilderberg meeting, had nothing to say. She didn't like them while she was Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. And we learned that they were angry with her, not only because of her hostility at Bilderberg, but because she refused to give up the pound for the euro. Obviously, your currency is a symbol of your nationality, the pound, our dollar, their pound, and she refused.
In other words, she didn't want to go with the euro, was that it?
She absolutely refused to. In fact, Britain still has the pound.
In other words, she didn't want to give up the sovereignty of her country, and you give up your money, why you lose your sovereignty, and she would not do that. Is that right?
That's right. That's why they had a trapeze artist named John Major from her own party challenge her and defeat her, or Conservative Party, in the election, and Conservative Party. Well, with their parliamentary system, then John Major was elected to replace Lady Thatcher. I had the privilege of talking to her briefly. It was not an interview, just one of those cocktail parties in Washington where you have brief conversations, and I asked her for her reaction. And this is not a direct quote. I did at the time make notes in the newspaper. A very close paraphrase would be, I said, Lady Thatcher, what is your reaction to being denounced by Bilderberg? And that's after she's out of office. And she said, she used the word tribute. She said, I consider it a tribute to be denounced by Bilderberg. I would never surrender a bit of sovereignty to an international organization. And
well, good for Lady Thatcher, and of course, but apparently you then knew that they were going to have her replaced, and these people are powerful.
I've done an advanced story on that, and that's after she's been replaced.
I see. Hold on, we'll be back in just a moment here with Mr. James Tucker on the Bilderbergers. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Mr. Tucker. Before we go on, do you have a website or any information you'd like to get out on what you do? Have you written a book on the Bilderbergers at all?
Yes, it's called The Bilderberg Diary, and it's available from the American Free Press. Just call 202-544-5977, and you can subscribe. You can buy the Bilderberg Diary and have a lot of fun.
And the 202-544, what's the rest of the number?
5977.
5977, that's the Bilderberg Diary. And is that a fairly new book? I hadn't heard of it before.
It has been out for about 2 years now, so we get up to about 2005, I think, is the last meeting that's accounted for in the book. It's been out for about 2 years, Bilderberg Diary. And, of course, we have the website, all lowercase, of course, American Free Press. So you can do it more quickly that way. AmericanFreePress.net.
AmericanFreePress.net. Okay, fine. That's the Bilderberg Diary, 202-544-5977. But it sounds the sort of book that we'll certainly want to carry because, Sidney, we think that it's such an important subject. And here's a group of people who are really sort of the kingmakers, and they were able to, announce among themselves that Margaret Thatcher, who was the Prime Minister of Great Britain and very, very popular, was going to be replaced. And, of course, they then encouraged John Major to run against her. And she was replaced because she did not want to go along with the destruction of the sovereignty of Great Britain and pulling Great Britain into the European Union, which is the ultimate plan to do away with national sovereignty, whether it be Great Britain or whether it be the United States. But it is all part of a plan for this world government that these people want. So basically, what other sort of things are the Bilderbergers up to? What do they do?
I should mention that the book is richly illustrated. It shows a photograph of myself and Lady Thatcher. But my favorite photograph is me and Dr. Kissinger. He's an affected jackass. Now, David Rockefeller, which also is a PhD in economics, but he's always been Mr. Rockefeller. But Kissinger's always been Dr. Kissinger.
I see.
But he's an affected type. His German accent is an affectation. I took him by surprise, and this is one of the photographs in the book. I sat up to him months after the meeting and say, Dr. Kissinger, at the last Bilderberg meeting, this guy said this to you, and your response was this. Would you elaborate on that? And he looked at me in shock. He said, that was a private meeting. Let me check himself. There's a couple of other reporters hanging out here. That was a private meeting. When you catch him off guard, he's been in this country since he was 14 years old. He served in the U.S. Army as a corporal in World War II.
And
accent is a total fabrication.
In other words, basically, if you catch him off guard, well, the accent disappears.
Yes, he's a phony.
I see. Well, of course, we've always known he's a phony, but he's a very, very powerful and a very dangerous man. He's done a great deal of harm to the United States because his loyalty is not here. He's not an American. He may be a naturalized citizen, but he seems to serve a different master.
All of these Bilderberg kids think of themselves as citizens of the world, and their great goal is to have a world government. The United Nations is to be expanded. That's why we have a NAFTA. That's why there's the European Union. Their great goal, as they've stated many times, or reported many times, is to create an American Union. Years ago, they're going to dollarize America and get rid of make the dollar the common currency of North America. Now they want to call it the Amerio or something like that.
Amerio, we've heard quite a bit about that. They want to do away with the American dollar. I really believe that's one reason why they're going to destroy it. And with that are the wealth and savings of so many of our listeners out there who have not made preparations to defend themselves as we move away from the American-dominated economic system towards this one-world economic system that they really want. And with that, of course, that means the destruction of the dollar and the value of many of the other currencies. You've got to impoverish the people before they're going to be willing to accept this one world government.
I think the housing crisis is part of it.
You think the what now?
The housing crisis.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right, Mr. Tucker. Now, what about the their attitude towards the Iraqi war? Do you have any ideas? And certainly, did they play any part in the decision that we apparently are not going to invade Iran for a time?
Well, this is interesting. First time there's a split, to my knowledge, among the European and American Bilderberg. Goes back, 2002, I guess it was, or 2001, when they met in Chantilly. Well, it'd be 2001 because right after 9/11/01, the terrorist attacks, they were simply scared, and it was North America's time to have the Bilderberg meeting, which is about every fourth year. So they met in Chantilly, which is a short drive from Dulles Airport outside Washington in Loudoun County, I think. So they're meeting there, and while all the European Bilderbergs wanted us to invade Yugoslavia and supported the Vietnam War and all that, for some reason, the Europeans were reticent about invading Iraq. So then Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld comes out to the meeting, and he promises the Bilderberg boys there will be no invasion of Iraq this year. Now, of course, little Danny Graham, the publisher of Washington Post, or he's chairman now or something, and Jim, whatchamacallit, was there, as they always are. And they heard the Secretary of Defense say that, yet they let their own newspaper, as all newspapers did, predict that the war would start this summer or late fall at the latest. And it did not start until March of the next year. It shows the how closely they embrace their promises to reveal nothing. And all the New York Times, the LA Times, Washington Post every year, all the network major network actors who attend these meetings on their solemn promise to reveal nothing at all for the rest of their lives about these meetings.
In other words, basically, they're not going to let the American people know the truth about this secret group that really determines the course of our foreign and domestic policy.
Now, I cannot understand why little Donald Graham, or Jim Potter's name, would not go to the news staff and say, look, stop reporting the war is going to start this summer or late fall at the latest. It will not start till next year. Don't ask me how I know. Just trust me. That would be enough, but they would not even do that. They'd let their own newspaper be wrong, knowing their newspaper would be wrong about the invasion starting in 2003.
All right, fine. Well, now, certainly, what about the invasion of Kosovo? Do you think that the Europeans want this invasion of Kosovo?
They supported that because they wanted, as they did in Gulf One, to Americans to get out what they call the Vietnam Syndrome, where we don't want to go to war anymore after the blistering in Vietnam. Part of it was called was because of Bill Clinton. Now, when people say I hate Bill Clinton, they're wrong. I have sneering contempt for Bill Clinton, but I don't hate him. He was, of course, recruited to Bilderberg in 1991 as the obscure governor of Arkansas. In 1992, he was elected president of the United States. They told him what NAFTA was, explained to him why he's for it, and of course he ran it through.
Well, do you think that they played a part in getting Bill Clinton elected the president?
Well, put it this way. He was obscure governor of Arkansas. He attends Bilderberg in Baden-Baden, Germany for the first time in his life in 1991. In 1992, he's elected president, and he thought putting NAFTA at the top of his list of priorities.
Well, it seems to me more than just a coincidence that that it would happen that way. So I agree with you that probably they certainly got the media that their members control to puff Bill Clinton. and of course to play down all of his marital infidelities and his association with drugs and corruption and murder, and simply make him look like a real good guy, and he got elected.
Yes, but the most bloody-handed draft dodger Bill Clinton ever disgraced the White House with his presence went to Kosovo to get what's her name, the Minsk Alpha Page One. Because if we go to war, that takes her and her stained blue dress off of page one and puts it inside because we've invaded Yugoslavia.
Right. Well, of course, the thing is that my concern is that there is may very well be a move towards getting NATO and American forces to actually move into Kosovo so they can be independent. And if they do, certainly the Serbians or the Russians, I don't think, will stand by and do nothing. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm very concerned about it. And the idea that we have to have missiles in what had been the Soviet client states. There's no way we're that the idea of putting missiles in the Ukraine and now our friendly countries, why do we want to agitate Putin in that way? But it's so militarily unnecessary.
Well, because you're talking now about this effort to put the anti-ballistic missiles into both Poland and Czechoslovakia, which we're claiming we're going to do that because we want to protect Europe from Iran. And, I mean, anybody with half an ounce of intelligence knows that this is meant as a threat to Russia and to Putin. And I agree with you. Why are we so intent upon, getting antagonism between Russia and the United States again? And of course, I really believe that they are planning one day for some sort of a conflict, a confrontation with Russia again. But we have to have some means of manipulating that. And I fear we're being manipulated into another world war down the line. When it's coming, I don't know. But the United States is doing everything they can to antagonize Putin. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and also, the so-called Star Wars thing began under President Reagan, which made sense during those Cold War years to some extent. But even then, Bilderberg jumped on it immediately. Big contracts, Bilderberg Company in London got $40 million contract right away to develop the missile defense that Reagan had proposed. But what interested me was Reagan proposed this about March of 1983, something like that. Immediately afterwards, the Bilderberg meeting in May or June, they're all for it. The other scientists, other people say, would this work? Is it practical? It turned out to have some good effects. The fact that you can decide so immediately because there's immense profits to be made.
And you think that then the reason the Bilderbergers favored it was because they were going to make a lot of money, a lot of our taxpayers' money?
Oh yes. The wars are very profitable. They always have been.
All right, fine.
A civil war, there's heavy hearings, and in World War II, all the wars, about profiteering at the expense of patriotism by international bankers, big international corporations.
And I'm sure they're willing to fight to the last American boy, but of course they're not willing to put their own sons out there.
Back to the old cliche, the rich man war and the poor boys fight.
I'm into that. Well, now, are there any other things that we should know about the Bilderbergers and their plans at the present time? What is their attitude, for instance, towards President Bush and a war with Iran? Have you heard anything at all about the possibility of a war with Iran or putting that off more or less indefinitely?
I'm not sure. Of course, the latest report saying that Iran's not done what they call the intelligence review people say. Iran gave up on nuclear missiles in 2005. But the same group was saying in 2005, Iran is making missiles. I don't know if they're making missiles or not. And certainly a lot of neocons want to go to war where we don't have enough wars. Lord, don't we have enough wars? We're now saying that you can go qualify for combat at age 42 in World War II. Total mobilization is the age was 38. Now they're saying you can be a felon and volunteer. We'll give you a $20,000 to volunteer, which brings in a lot of poor boys for $20,000. Well, for this poor boy, $20,000 is a good fee. But we're stretched so thin, 114, more than that, around the country and our own borders undefended.
And I think it's really a rather tragic state. It seems that these people, at least the people who are running our country, want an empire. They want our troops stationed in countries all throughout the world. The United States is spending more money on its military than all the rest of the world put together. I mean, I don't think the average American has any idea what's really going on. They think that we're over there fighting for freedom or democracy or something in Iraq. And I mean, certainly that can't be true, because why do we have our troops stationed in Germany and in Japan and in Korea and in 130 nations? We have troops stationed all over the world. It almost looks like America is trying to build a great empire. Do you get that feeling?
An imperialistic empire. Yes, Pat Buchanan has a lot to say about that, which I agree with. The Cold War is over. Putin does not want to nuke the United States. In fact, all the way back to the Kennedy missile crisis of 1962, we know now, we did not know then, that we had them outgunned 20-1 during the Cuban missile crisis. If the Soviet Union had, on that horrible October day, launched missiles in the United States, Khrushchev knew that once those missiles were in there, it took 18 minutes to hit the United States, that we would have already responded with our missiles in the air. If we took a hit, 40 to 60 million Americans out of the population then, about 250 million Americans, would probably be killed, and that's horrible. But we hit them again, and we still have a third strike. And Moscow would be thrown into the Stone Age. And Khrushchev knew that. Kennedy knew that.
Well, hold on. We'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Arthur Stan here at the Radio Liberty, and certainly Mr. Tucker is pointing out what we have also said, and that is that most of what the American people have been told about our relationships with the Soviet Union has just not been true. And he's pointing out that at the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis, they had no intention of course, firing missiles at America. We had them outgunned. We had certainly could have destroyed Russia readily, and although they could have killed a fair number of Americans, we would have destroyed Russia and put them back to the Stone Age. So the idea that we were going to go to war at that time was simply all propaganda. Would that be a fair statement, Mr. Tucker?
What was all propaganda?
That the Cuban Missile Crisis and the danger to the average American.
Probably exaggerated. If not propaganda, definitely exaggerated.
It was exaggerated then. All right, fine. Well, we've got about 2.5 minutes for you to wrap up. Your thoughts on the Bilderbergers. What's the message that you'd like to leave with our listeners today about the danger of this super-secret organization of men of great wealth?
Well, it's important that we use the weapon of truth and expose them in this country, because Bilderberg is dedicated to the destruction of the sovereignty of the United States and all nations in favor of a world government. They're behind on schedule. They expected by 2000, almost 8 years ago, in one more week, they expected that we'd have a North American Union by now. Another great step. We did not. We're fighting back. As long as Americans keep fighting back, we can keep our sovereignty, but we have to fight these evil. We have to fight what I now call the evil empire. President Bush had a different definition.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly appreciate so very much your willingness to be with us here today. Our guest has been Mr. James Tucker, who is one of the senior reporters at the
America Free Press.
America Free Press, and of course the telephone number. Want to give that telephone number out one more time?
Yes, bear with me while I reach down here because I don't call myself up very much.
All right.
The number is 202-544-5977.
And, of course, Mr. Tucker attends those Bilderberger meetings, not as an invited guest, but to get the information, he's there every year. And certainly we're going to look forward to getting a copy of his book, the Bilderberger Diary, and getting the information available for our listeners. Well, Mr. Tucker, thank you so very much for being with us, and let's hope you don't have another wild ride on the taxi here.
I hope not.
All right.
Thank you much. I enjoyed it.
Bye-bye. God bless. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we do carry a fascinating DVD on the Bilderbergers. It's called Endgame. It's put out by Alex Jones. And then, we have a book on the Bilderbergers by Daniel Estulin. I think that later on we'll be getting up Mr. Tucker's book on the Bilderbergers, because it's vitally important that you understand that there are people of great wealth and great power have so much money and influence that they can control the media in the United States. And the tragedy is that 90 to 95% of the major media outlets in the United States are controlled by one of five mega corporations who largely control what the American people hear, what they see on television, and certainly what they read in newspapers or in books or magazines. And that's the way the system is played. Now, overseas, you can go into Canada, you can go into Europe, and you can learn all about the Bilderbergers. People know about the Bilderbergers, but they're not going to know about it here, because they control the media, and they really don't want you to understand. If I could suggest my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, that's Brotherhood of Darkness, has a section on the Bilderbergers and on many of the other covert organizations that work behind the scenes. But what most people do not understand is that all of these organizations, in one way or other, are tied into the occult. So if you haven't read my pamphlets on the occult hierarchy, if you have not heard our four tape set on the supernatural, read Johanna Michelson's excellent book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, or of course read the book by Father Malachi Martin, Hostages to the Devil, and we have a four tape set with Father Martin on, really doesn't get so much into the supernatural as to what's going on politically, but of course gives you great insight into this, a very remarkable man, and I'm so glad we have these tapes available, because Father Martin of course died under somewhat strange circumstances a few years ago. But the four tape set is called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. Then of course we suggest, if you really want to begin to understand how this all fits together, you need to get the DVD of my talk on the Forbidden Secret, and of course the syllabus that goes with that. You need to get the DVD on the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. That's the Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, very professionally done, actually won a prize for the best documentary of the year with one of the major film festivals in the United States. And then the second in the series, the Riddles in Stone, the Secret History of America's Beginnings, because at the very beginning of our country, there were occult secret organizations working here. Their dream was to use the power and wealth of the United States to bring about this one world government, new world religion, and the new world leader. Now, of course, there was a Christian influence here, too. And originally, at the time of the foundation of this country, the Christian influence was predominant. But unfortunately, that has faded as the churches have been infiltrated, our seminaries have been infiltrated. They've changed the music. They've changed the message of so many of our Christian churches. And of course, no longer do we think of ourselves as being sinners, saved by a Savior. They don't believe in sin. They don't believe in eternal punishment. They don't believe in hell. They're very, very learned. They're so much smarter than the ministers were a generation ago, and they've changed the entire thrust of Christianity. And as a result, many of our Christians simply are totally unaware of the supernatural element of what is transpiring today. There really are supernatural forces at work in our society. And this is, of course, if you go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, that's RadioLiberty.com, you can learn about them. We, of course, hope you'll go to our website of RadioLiberty.com and listen to our programs and watch our DVDs and pull down our newsletters and tell others about the program. Tell them about the spiritual battle that's going on today for the souls of men, and then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and our protection until tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.